Do you know why my iPod is shaped like a Coca-Cola bottle?
I don't know why.
Because it only plays pop music.
It's time for the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
That's the Swing Set Mamas right here on the Children's Hour. This is the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and I am delighted to be with you today and all of these kids at the Outpost and on Zoom. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
And who do we have with us today?
Hi, it's Lorfin.
Hi, it's Joe.
Hi, it's Lime.
Hi, it's Nina.
Hi, it's Max.
Hello, it's Amadeus.
Hi, it's Daniel.
Hi, it's Amaya.
Well, thank you all so much for being here at the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and on Zoom, and all of you out in listener land. On the Children's Hour, this is the third episode in our four-part radio series called Communication Nation, where we're exploring various forms of communication through languages, media, and community building. We're calling this episode Other Voices, Other Sounds. And when I say sounds, I don't just mean the ones that we hear with our ears. All of us use our bodies to communicate through our facial expressions, gestures, posture, even our breath. That's how we know what our parents are thinking when they just give us the look. Sometimes this is called body language. Others call it nonverbal communication, and we're going to learn more about that from speech-language pathologist Marcy Laurel. There are people who only use gestures in their bodies to communicate, and we're going to meet a family who uses sign language as their primary communication. Brad Klein is a CODA, a child of deaf adults, and his parents, Marty and Candy, are going to join us to teach us about sign language and deaf culture. And you know, it's not unusual to need a little help to communicate. That's where assistive technology can come into play. There are people who have to communicate through technology only, and there are others who just use it to support their ability to speak aloud. Tibbany Ho is from the Rio Rancho Public School District in New Mexico, and she visited the Sunspot Solar Studio to explain. We have a lot to learn on the Children's Hour today. You can find more information about Communication Nation and this episode, Other Voices, at childrenshour.org. Let's learn together today on the Children's Hour. This is Brady Reimer.
Fix me, love me for who I am. Please don't try to fix me, love me for who I am. Well, I may not talk the way you talk, but I got some things to say. So won't you listen up, come on, let's talk. You're gonna be amazed. Please don't try to fix me, love me for who I am. Please don't try to fix me, love me for who I am. 'Cause I ain't no motor that won't turn over. You tow down to the station. No, I'm alive inside. I'm filled with pride. Got a wild imagination. So please don't try to fix me. Love me for who I am. Please don't try to fix me. Love me for who I am. 'Cause I am.
Listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and today we're talking about communication. It's easy to overlook such an essential part of our lives. We humans communicate with our words, our technology, and even our bodies. This is Communication Nation, a special series from the Children's Hour where we explore various forms of communication through media, languages, and community building. This program is made possible by funding from the National Endowment for the Humanities and the United We Stand Connecting Through Culture Initiative, and by the New Mexico Humanities Council. This is Communication Nation Episode 3, Part 1, Nonverbal Communication. We've already learned about how humans rely on speaking to each other to communicate, but did you know that a big part of how we share information uses no words at all? That's called nonverbal communication. Today we're exploring how people use their bodies to express their thoughts and feelings, and how even entire languages are only physical. Marcy Laurel is a speech-language pathologist at the University of New Mexico's Center for Development and Disability. That's somebody who works with people who need support in expressing their own communications. We invited her to the Sunspot Solar Studio here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, to show us how a specialist like Marcy teaches nonverbal communications.
That could be a lot of different things, including how we use our bodies, like how close we stand to someone. Do we turn our body towards someone when we're talking to them? How do we use our hands? Do we make gestures while we're talking, or even when we're not talking? How do we use our face? Facial expressions that show you're mad or you're sad or you're frustrated. Are we loud? Are we soft? Do we sound friendly or angry? All the ways we communicate without using words, which I think is kind of funny in a way, because adults often tell children, use your words. But actually, the way we communicate is so much more than just our words.
Marcy told us that a lot of the time, the most important way humans communicate is with our body, face, and tone of voice.
People are watching us to see how we're communicating without words, and also if the way we communicate with our bodies matches what we're saying with our words. If we're saying words but our body doesn't match, people feel uncomfortable and they're always going to believe our bodies every time. So right now, if I say, I'm so excited to be talking to you, might seem like I'm excited. But if I say, I'm so excited to be talking to you, you're going to know I'm not excited. You're not going to believe my words. So it's very important that we use our nonverbal communication. Another way it's important is that we have to be able to read other people's nonverbal communication.
If we can't see a person's face or body, it's hard to totally know what they mean when they're talking to us.
We might not feel so comfortable and safe if we can't get that matchup and we don't understand it.
It's also important because sometimes we can get into trouble if we don't understand somebody else's nonverbal communication.
Say you're in the classroom and something's going on and the teacher starts to have a voice that sounds kind of irritated. Maybe they cross their arms or they put their hands on their hips and they show with their face, I'm really getting frustrated. If you can't notice that, you might end up being in trouble when you didn't really mean to be. And the same thing goes for adults when we're talking to the people in our lives. We learn nonverbal communication basically by watching and noticing what people are doing when we're very, very small. And then we copy or we imitate what other people do.
But then sometimes kids don't necessarily pick up the cues of nonverbal communication on their own. What populations might have to learn them in a different way?
So sometimes kids who have what we call neurodivergent ways of thinking and being in the world, that might be kids who have autism or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or just challenges maybe with impulsivity that makes it hard for them to pay attention to everything going on around them, might not pick up on all of this when they're real little bitty. And then they don't learn it right away, and people don't maybe realize that they haven't picked that up after all.
Neuro means brain and brain function, and divergent means different from a normal path, maybe. So neurodivergent is maybe a brain that is on a different path?
That's like such a great way to say it. And if you think about it, we're all on our own path, right? So if you expand and expand how you think about that, we're all different in how our brains operate and how we think about things. But sometimes we have these labels that we apply to people when it seems like it might be helpful in knowing how to help them.
Being neurodivergent can change how a person uses or notices nonverbal communication. That can make it hard to make friends.
It's all about sending messages and receiving messages. So if you're trying to send a message, but you're not sending the message you meant to send, or someone's trying to send you a message, but you're not catching it, then it can really affect social interaction.
That's Marcy Laurel from the Center for Development and Disability at the University of New Mexico. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. We have a lot more coming up. This is Communication Nation, Episode 3, Other Voices, Other Sounds.
I was thinking my own thoughts and you were thinking your own thoughts, and we were talking quite a lot, and no one heard a thing. I was thinking my own way, and nothing you could say would sway, till something funny happened on the way to better things. I'm listening.
Life is black and white, just me.
I'm listening.
There are colors I don't see.
I'm listening.
Here's a new philosophy.
I'm listening.
Talk until we get to we.
I'm listening.
You can help me truly see.
I'm listening.
That's Dr. Noyes and Justin Roberts. I'm listening. You are listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and this is episode 3 of our 4-part radio series, Communication Nation. This series is also available as curriculum for teachers. You can learn a lot more about it at childrenshour.org. Look for Communication Nation. Stick with us.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated. You can learn more about us and support our work at childrenshour.org. New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs supports the Children's Hour. Museum Hill in Santa Fe, New Mexico is where arts, culture, and nature converge. Plan your visit at museumhill.net. Electric Playhouse supports the Children's Hour, now open in Las Vegas, Nevada, inside the Forum Shops at Caesar's Palace. Learn more at electricplayhouse.com.